Please be seated, everyone. Before we call the cases on calendar for this morning, our colleague Justice Perigary is not here. He has read the briefs, and he will listen to the audio tape of this oral argument and participate in our deliberations. He could not be here today and extends his apologies. And I think Justice Seda has something she wishes to say.
Yes. For the record, today on December 9th, 2014, it is my pleasure to make a part of our record the attendance of Logan Bodner, who is seated down here. Logan is here participating in a merit badge process, and what he will be doing today as a result of today will go towards his Eagle Scout. Is that correct, Logan? And it is my honor to welcome him here and for him to be a part of our arguments. Thank you.
Very well. The first case on calendar this morning is Las Vegas Metro Police Department versus Blackjack Bonding. Is counsel ready to proceed?
Yes, ma'am.
Very well. You may approach. Do you wish to reserve any time for rebuttal?
Yes, ma'am. 5 minutes and to address the rebuttal and also the cross-appeal portion.
Okay. Thank you very much.
May it please the court, Your Honor, I'm Tom Dillard representing appellant to Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department. This case is on appeal from an order granting a petition for mandamus for disclosing of records under the Nevada Public Records Act. Your Honor, the order of the district court finding the records ought to be produced, although the public import being not weighty, ought to be reversed here. The records, subject records, are simply not public records. They are records that had to be customized to fit this particular request. They were a report that had never been contemplated before, a report that an independent contractor that provides phone services to inmates in the Clark County Detention Center collects calls, or they can the inmate can access a prepaid call card. They enable that communication to be made available from inmates inside the jail to private parties outside the jail.
I think that we understand the basis upon which this case comes before us, but my question has to do with the public records statute and all of that, the theory that goes along with that, that this is information that, although not being held by Las Vegas Metro, it nonetheless certainly, at least from my perspective, falls into the exception that would make it a public record and therefore available. Can you respond to that?
Yes, Your Honor. I respectfully disagree that it's a public record. It's a report that is not generated by the department. It's a report that they never had custody of. It's a report that they never had contemplated before. It was something a private entity could do based on their system. The Public Record Act affords somebody to go and have access to a public entity to see a book or a record that entity has available to them, to make that open for inspection, what it has legal custody or control of, documents that that shed light on an issue of public importance, social, political, economic matters. It is a means of transparency for the government. There's nothing in these documents that have anything to do whatsoever with any governmental function, any custodial function of the Clark County Detention Center, any law enforcement function.
Well, then why do you have on the contract between Clark County and CenturyLink, one of the obligations is to provide call detail reports on request by Metro? That's their obligation, and it lists the data that should be able to be taken from the system and given to Metro. If that's not something that's useful to Metro in the conduct of its public services, why is that in the contract?
Well, what's available in the contract, Your Honor, for an investigative function, for a detective, for instance, to get to track a call, be able to lay foundation for a call. For example, inmates, as you know, do not have a protected privacy interest in their phone calls outside the counsel made to jail. And sometimes there's investigative value to those phone calls. They would be able to, based on a contract, retrieve that information without a subpoena. But that's no different than a Metro detective could go get a warrant to obtain that investigative information from any other entity, irrespective of whether it was a public contract or not. And it's investigative driven.
So is there an exception for something that is investigative driven, that it falls outside of public record?
Is there an exception in terms of the Public Records Act or what's available through the contract, Your Honor?
No, let's start with the broad approach, the Public Records Act.
There is no public records import for a particular criminal investigation information. It could be anything.
Well, it's protection of the public, isn't it?
Once it's part of a criminal case, and it have investigative value, but in terms of it presented in court, but on investigative value, the fact that it could be relevant. I mean, there was no criminal investigation here for which Metro retrieved documents. This is something that they never contemplated. I can't imagine that this particular data, that is, all calls from all inmates in a two-year period to bail agents, would have any investigative value of any case at all. The contract never contemplated producing that report. Indeed, nobody knew that information could be generated anyway.
Let me return to the language of the contract that I alluded to a moment ago. It describes the purpose, and it describes it more broadly than just investigation. And I understand your point that police investigation is typically confidential and has, it's secret until the charges or arrest are brought forward. But the call detail reports language says the inmate telephone system shall provide full call detail records for use in, and I quote and emphasize, administrative and investigative purposes. So, correct, you're correct that it serves investigative purposes, but the contract says it also serves administrative purposes. And it seems to me that what I need to hear from you is why administrative purpose data should not fall within the Public Records Act.
Your Honor, on that point, there's been no transmission of any records at all. This particular report was never been in anybody's custody. It had to be created after the order. With respect to what administrative reports are available, that was not what was requested. Assuming Metro used some administrative report, I understand they did not, notwithstanding the language in the contract, that they received something specifically on a bulk data report. This wasn't it. Now, let me give you an example. The courts up in Carson, there's I'm sure persons that take care of the ground maintenance. That's a public contract. That's open for bidding. The bidding itself is open public records. The bid documents would go to the state, and all those documents are available under the Public Records Act. But to use that as an avenue to go in and the bidder that's the lowest responsible bidder, if I don't get it, the next year I want to come back and get all of their in-house records, their maintenance, their overhead, everything else, to sharpen my pen in submitting the next bid. That's what we're talking about here. We're using a governmental entity not to be a this public records access is not so that people can have a watchdog on the department in this case, but to use the government to go fetch some records for them, to fish them out, to cull them out, to prepare it, to give it to a public entity for no other purpose other than business. Now, that's fine on an ingenuity aspect.
Would you concede that if this were a piece of civil litigation and I served a Rule 45 subpoena pursuant to a notice of depot on the phone company, CenturyLink, and said, please give me all this stuff, that would be properly subject to production?
I would think
provided so. I pay for the cost of doing it and we get through Commissioner Bulla.
Yes, a Rule 45 subpoena where that document or that information is arguably relevant. Obviously, your honors know that the scope of relevancy in civil litigation. Outside of some protection, we don't want to get too much into, I think, the private area of personal phone call to personal phone call. That might be an issue that they want to raise that third-party interest on behalf of uninvolved third parties. But
anyway, if we directed the same subpoena request to them that you did, that your opponent did pursuant to public records, it would be subject to discovery, assuming I could make the reasonably calculated to lead to the discovery of admissible evidence showing it's not confidential.
Well, other than your honor, it raises the issue, and this would be a Commissioner Bullitt issue, about does that entity have to go out and create something?
Right, and do I have to pay for it if they do?
Correct.
Or do you pay for it?
Yes. But in the Purse case.
And why would I want it? But, you know.
Yeah, well, it's hard to imagine why anyone would want this piece of information other than somebody in the business.
Well, I suspect they can tell us why they would want it.
Well, they were asked that question, and at a time when the record is pretty murky is the response. We went through an exercise in front of Judge Weiss about what they wanted. The first response is, we want to make sure the phones work. And our response to the district court was, we don't want to be in the middle of the bail agents fighting over this market. We don't want to be in that, stuck in that. So let's go make sure the phones work. Go in there, they tested each and every one, and they all work fine.
Well, they only worked fine at that precise moment.
Right. And so the response was, we want to check and see what happened the last 2 years. Well, if that were candid, Your Honor, then why do they want every call for every bail agent, not just their own? And how would you tell whether the phone calls went through by getting that raw data now? It's just in a vacuum. You can't make that determination. Your Honor, just last comment and we'll save the rest. The issue came up in terms of whether the Public Records Act obliges a governmental entity to create a customized report in the Purse case last year, and the conclusion by this court that it did not. It was outside the parameters of the act. If it was a report in existence, that's another matter, but something that had to be specifically customized to meet a request is not the obligation of a governmental entity, in fact, I would submit to you it turns on its head the purpose of the act for public transparency is putting that burden on the government to do something for a private party.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You have 3 minutes and 55 seconds. And for our guest here today, the lawyers are timed in the remarks that they make. Each side gets 15 minutes, and it's shown on a clock that counts down so that they know when they're about to run out of time. And if you file a reply brief, you're able to reserve time and come back and speak again. And here we have both opening and reply and cross-appeal briefs, so each side has the option of reserving time. So with that, do you want to reserve any time?
No, Your Honor. Thank you, though.
Okay.
Good morning, Your Honors. This case is clearly within the Nevada Public Records Act. The records that we're requesting are pursuant to our public records, and they're relating to a contract that was signed between CenturyLink and Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department. Your Honors have raised questions with respect to that contract, and in that contract it does say with respect to that these reports, it requires CenturyLink to provide these reports for use in administrative and investigative purposes. The fact that Metro has not requested the records is irrelevant. It's the fact that they saw when this contract was made that these records may be relevant in with respect to their administrative and investigative purposes. Metro has the opportunity, and they stated this in the pleadings, that they can shut off calls at any point at any time for whatever reason. And so these call records would likely show that if certain calls were shut, the phones were shut off, or during the call if they were shut off, if the calls were not able to be complete. That's one of the things that we asked in the information for the call logs to see if these calls were complete or not complete.
What do you say to your opposing colleague's argument with respect to the recent PERS case and the argument that you're not obligated to create a new report. Rather, you're obligated only to produce information at hand in an existing record.
I think, Your Honors, now in the days of electronics, everything's in computers. We don't keep things in papers and stacks and file rooms. So reports are generated on a computer. You plug in certain information. I know this is my son's in school and he's doing the week of code, and there are certain codes and things you enter into to generate reports. And we're not, in the PERS case, it was essentially saying if you're asking for a report where you have to go to this department to create that, that's not what's required under the Public Records Act. For instance, if we were to ask, we want all the call records for felons that were charged with felon and posted bail, they would have to go to CenturyLink to get the call records, go look at the arrest records to see who had a felony, then go to the court and see who posted bail. I think PERS, that PERS case, would say under those circumstances, no, they're not required to do that. But CenturyLink and even Metro has admitted it's easy to generate this report. Basically, plug in a couple things in the computer, you push print or put it onto an Excel spreadsheet, disk, email, and that's how we got it with the City of Las Vegas, was just by email. It was that quick. So it's
I
not
that they're contractually obligated to have that information retrievable in that form of report, right?
And yes. In the contract, it says as long as the term of the contract, they have to have that information available upon request. So it would be easily generated. So it would not be a new report.
Was there anything in the record that shows what this cost in terms of people hours to pull the data and generate the report, or what the cost likely would be?
As required in the Nevada Public Records Act, we are required, Blackjack is required to pay the cost. We were not given any invoice or anything with respect to how many man hours or any cost. Previously, my client has requested like arrest records, and there'll be a cost saying this is how many man hours, and you have to pay before you get the records. We were not given that, so there's nothing on the record to say there was any cost.
I didn't see anything.
No. These records also, when we first went to CenturyLink, they said, at first they were giving the records, and they said, no, now we need permission from Metro to give the records. So that's why we went through Metro to get the records. And that's why we utilize the Public Records Act. Your Honor made the mention of going through a subpoena. Well, I think that evades the purpose of the Public Records Act, to have to file a lawsuit to get these records when you're using a private entity for a public purpose here. I mean, they can't delegate that duty to avoid the Public Records
Act. And my point is that they're subject to discovery. They're not confidential.
No, they would not be confidential. And we've agreed to redact, the names of the defendants and their ID numbers, because there's no purpose to having that. It was just more to see if calls went through or not. there was also, there in the cases we cited, a Florida Court of Appeals case that was bent. And in that case, it said audio recording, but we did not have that. And that's not what we're asking for, but call records would be directly related to the public purpose, because inmates are allowed, pursuant to statute, to make calls. And one of those calls can be to a bail agent. So that would be within the public purpose. Metro is not a telephone service provider, so obviously they have to go to a third party to have those phones placed in there and to have those calls be made.
And would you agree with me, counsel, that the statute speaks directly to an exception that talks about public agencies using private entities for certain services, and whether or not that blocks the public right access? Frankly, in my opinion, it does not.
Yes, I think that the legislature recognized that you cannot subvert the Public Records Act by using a private entity. So it created that exception to say that you have, if you're going to use a private entity for public acts, that those public records would fall under the Public Records Act.
Clear and unambiguous statutory language, as far as you're concerned?
As far as I'm concerned, it's very plain on that, Your Honor.
Thank you.
And I think that going further than that is, if we were to ask for CenturyLink's personnel records, that would be different and say that's not part of the public services they're providing, but directly relating the records relating to the public service, the call logs, would be under the Public Records Act. I think counsel made the example comparison to bid documents and seeking all that information. Well, it still has to be related to the public service that they're providing. The actual big documents, but their personnel records or their financial information would likely not be relevant to that information.
So what is the relevance of this request?
To be frank, Your Honor, we told the district court there is a requirement for us to say why it's relevant, but we're not hiding the ball here. There's, ever since Century Link has taken over, defendants have complained that calls have not been able to be made to various bail agents. The previous phone company, comparing those records to some records, we want to compare it to see how the difference is, how CenturyLink is handling that public service, and to scrutinize whether they're actually providing the service that benefits those inmates in there to make the call to their chosen bail agent. We limited that request because there's a list that's provided in the jail listing all the bail agents and their numbers, and the limit said, just give us those numbers so we can evaluate and look at those records. We're not asking for the world. We're only asking for that.
Because you both are engaging so much in the legitimacy of the reason for the request, and that's worrisome to me because I don't think the public, as you said a moment ago, the Public Records Act requires that. Yet, with a private service provider, you do have the issue of, is it related to the public service that they're assisting the public entity in providing, right?
Yes.
So how do you separate those out? What's the test that applies to distinguish between private aspects of the outside provider's work and public?
Well, I think with respect to the exception, to say that it's, you know, with respect to private entities, you can't avoid it if it involves the performance of the public service. So with respect to if they are performing the public service of providing phones and under the contract requires them to provide a call log for administrative purposes, that would be within the public service. CenturyLink's financial or tax records would not necessarily be fulfilling the public service of providing telephone access for the inmates pursuant to statute, Your Honor. Your Honor, if I may briefly go into the cross-appeal with respect to the attorney's fees issue. The district court found in favor of Blackjack with respect to the public records, and pursuant to NRS 239.011, Blackjack submitted its request for attorney's fees and costs. The district court agreed that statute's mandatory, but said you were not the prevailing party. Although the records of the inmates were redacted in their name and their ID, which we had agreed to way before the litigation even started, we still got the purpose of what we wanted, the public records, the actual call logs. So under the reasoning of longstanding case law, we would be the prevailing party because that was the heart and soul of our request. The Metro, in their opposition with respect to the attorney's fees, actually agreed that we were the prevailing party. I think it was because of the fact that the district court wanted to give us something and then give them something. And here, we'll give you the records, but you're not going to get your attorney's fees. Well, the whole point of the Public Records Act is to say, look, you need to comply with the Public Records Act. If you choose not to do that and take it to court, there could be some consequences that you have to pay attorney's fees and costs to the requester. And that's the case here, is that we made the request, the court found that in our favor, and we were the prevailing party. Blackjack succeeded on a significant issue in the litigation, and NRS 239.011 is mandatory. So we would request that with respect to the cross-appeal, that the case be remanded so the court can do the evaluation to find the reasonableness of the attorney's fees, because that was not done because of the fact the court found that although it was mandatory, we were not the prevailing party, even though Metro is the one that actually was aggrieved and appealed the decision. In conclusion, Your Honor, I think that this case directly falls within the Public Records Act, and that the court should uphold the district court's decision in granting the public the call logs with the redactions of the defendant's name and the defendant's ID, and then reverse and remand with respect to the attorney's fees to have the court make the finding on the reasonableness. Thank you, Your Honors.
I guess, counsel, I'd like you to start with the prevailing party argument and how it is that this that blackjack falls out of that.
Your Honor, what happened here is you get a request that's made that was very expensive. We went to court on a couple occasions on this time, and it was walked back every time. Okay, we'll take this part out of the request. We won't have it this way. You don't have to do it in this form. Okay.
In the end, it was as simple. A request was made for certain records. It may have been narrowed along the way, but I'm a bit concerned about the analysis, or lack of analysis, frankly, made by the judge in this case under the statute. How else or who else is a prevailing party if not blackjack?
Well, what the determination the district court made was that these records, if there is any public import, it ain't much. And I want to give you what you want, but it's not going to cost the taxpayers any money. And why is that the case? Because, one, how they presented in terms of why they wanted it, and two, time after time we went to court and district, and this was in the records stated by Judge Weiss, you didn't get everything you wanted.
But there's no quantitative determination under the statute that I'm aware of, that if you only get a little bit, you're only sort of a prevailing party.
Well, Your Honor, look on the other side of it, though. I make the request to government. I want everything. Very expensive, overbroad. I go to court then and walk it back. Okay, we don't want this. We don't want that. Okay, we'll just take this. We can live with that. And that's exactly what occurred here. And then go back and say, I want the attorney's fees, all of it, because the governmental entity had the audacity in the first instance to say, no, we're not providing you all of that information. And that's why you're not here with this. That's part of what Judge Weiss decided. And he said, you got something, but you didn't get everything. And we went to court, and we sorted this out, and it got worked out. He thought he was really, and I think, should have sent an admirable job playing King Solomon here and splitting the baby. And that was the one thing clear in his record. Okay, I'm going to give it to you. I want to play nice, but the taxpayers aren't going to pay for this, okay? I'm giving you a break. That was his determination, almost stated expressly like that on the record when we went in there twice. So his determination was they were not a prevailing party that obliged him to give them the attorney's fees because of the process and how it was walked back, and that which they got was much different than what they asked for at the outset. John, I want to, at my last minute and a half, want to address the issue of that you raised about what's in this record and what's in the statute. There is no express language in the statute making private entity records public. There is a section in the purpose that says the government can't say it was created by the private entity, so you can't have it. But that's in the context of it being within the governmental entity's customary control. And the compelling evidence of that is the legislative history. This was the language up for debate of what a public record is.
Well, do we get to legislative history if the statute is clear?
Well, I would say it's clear in our favor and all cases.
And are you asking us to define public record in a way that we have not yet done?
Am I asking you to define public record? No, Your Honor, I don't believe that. To my knowledge, there's no case law or statutory language that says the documents held by a private entity that's not even in a traditional governmental function. You know, a lot of statutes, including FOIA, say if you privatize that private entity, they're running the jail. Okay, that's government. But a governmental entity has so many contracts. For instance, inmates. Oh, my time is gone. I apologize.
Please finish your thought.
Okay. Thank you very much. Inmates of the jail, we have a constitutional obligation to provide them food, clothing, warmth, shelter, exercise, okay? That's required. That's what a custodial does. There are so many contracts they have to do laundry, to bring in food services. And are we to say then that because they're involved in the process of what a right is for, in this case a phone call, that all their records, the private entities makes them public records, They are not involved in traditional governmental function. Even if we had this expanded language, which our legislators said we're not going to include, this would be right outside it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Very well. This case shall stand submitted 62884.